Hello there, and welcome again to Jim Brown's Outrig Capercast. And I'll tell you, it was some caper for me and for my partner in the Outrig project, Scott Brown. It was just last week we had a chance to meet in Bristol, Rhode Island. I rode the Amtrak up from Virginia, and Scott drove down from Toronto. And for one day of our four-day visit, we managed to lure Mr. Aaron Porter, editor of Professional Boatbuilder magazine, to join us. He couldn't resist. I told him I thought this was a milestone in nautical history, and Meade Goujon told him that, hey, this is the greatest advance in sailing in 100 years. So we all found our way to a great big shop in Bristol, Rhode Island, a famous boatbuilding area. And one of the many things we accomplished was to get three of the principals in this outfit called Fast Forward Composites to sit down for a minute on camera and on mic. And I'd like to share with you the results of the audio version of that interview. It was 53 minutes long. I've had to cut it way down because it had a lot of babble in it, but I hope you'll listen for an overall impression. Let's start by letting the three principal personalities on hand introduce themselves.
My name is Tomas Fernando Gonzalez-Sinos. That's a mouthful, so I go by Tommy. Help put this all together. I'm not a boat builder, I'm a sailor, and I bring the customer to the table and make this possible.
My name is Wolfgang Chamberlain, and I manage the build program here at FFC. Everything that's happening on the floor, coordination of the various projects that are happening.
So my name is Randy Smythe. I'm a sail designer. I'm just a kind of a freelance test pilot, so to speak. So I test a lot of these crazy ideas we come up with and make sure they're viable. And the wing is right up my alley in the way I think on a daily basis.
Which is right out of the box.
I like blank sheets of paper. I don't like rules.
Yeah. I like to think that we have different components. We have one guy who inspired and started the domino effect, which his name is Donald Sussman. He's not here with us today. And he's, I would say, the creator. He's the guy who inspired and put the first order in. And he wanted something that was very light, very fluid and fashionable. He wanted something that was efficient. He also wanted it to foil, and then he said, wouldn't it be great if we could have a wing like the America's Cup? I then met Wolf, which this shop wouldn't be possible without Wolfgang. Sold him on the idea of the Mosaic Design Group. Before all that happened, during this time, Randy came to St. John and visited us and stayed at my house. I live on a precipice overlooking the ocean, which is very beautiful, and we're sitting there talking about all this and the America's Cup wings, and realized that no one had ever built a wing that's one element that's 360 degrees self-rotating. So we started talking, sketching, and I think before you left, Randy, we had some kind of a parameter for what we have now.
Yeah, we came up with a dream. Of course, that went into drawings, but you know, then we had Wolf that actually make this thing happen. We're kind of the creative dream juice. He's the guy that actually gets the carbon fiber laid out and builds these things. So it's really a team of very expert individuals. We're not clones by any means, so it really puts together a pretty strong program when you get people like that together. This year was Everglades Challenge with a capital C. We had huge small craft warnings. In fact, we delayed it one day on the start because of the small craft warnings. So that hybrid wing, it was no cakewalk. It was a better test than I probably would have done at home thinking I was testing it, forced it, you know, in the ocean there for 300 miles. You have to go through all kinds of crazy situations, big waves, flying off waves. We had one big thunderhead come through with three circulating, I don't know if they're going to be tornadoes or waterspouts, but all three of those cyclone fingers coming out of that cloud were aiming right at me. So I took the sails off the hybrid wing, had to survive through that storm with a hybrid wing. And it was, you know, I'm a sailor, I've gone around the world and all kinds of crazy stuff, but believe me, the puffs coming vertically down from that cloud, I couldn't have had any ability to reef in time, you know. But with a hybrid wing, it was amazing because you just pull it with just, you know, finger load on the wing. Every puff that would hit, I just let go. The wing would rotate to whatever direction that puff happened to be, And it was silent. You know, usually when you're in big winds like that, there's nothing but deafening leech flutter and noise and load and everything else. And it was just like, you know, I never really thought of the hybrid wing as a safety tool. I'm a performance guy, so I just wanted to go faster. But to, you know, survive through that was testimonial to me. It was like, you know, we've come up with something that's actually, you know, practical from a wide range of sailing conditions. Not just you can leave it up at night and have it spin around at your dock, but you can actually feel really a comfort in a storm, you know, situation. And believe me, my little 200-pound, 20-foot trimaran, you know, is no cruising boat, you know, so it was a real test.
We worked on a project, and back in the day, actually, right here in this building, the Formula 40s were made for the Pro Sail Circuit. So I ended up purchasing, over a decade ago, a Pro Sail boat, Team Timberland. We repainted her, stiffened her up, made her stronger because, you know, she needed a little love. And now we call her Caliente. And we've built a wing that's 70 foot tall to put it on the boat, and we'll start testing next week. Tomorrow, we'll be putting the wing back on the boat. You guys are welcome to come and do a little filming of that part, and we'll see where we go, because everything needs to grow proportionately. I kind of think of it that we have three projects running at the same time. We have two R&D projects, which, you know, they're milestones in the way we think of the company. One of them, the hybrid ring, which Randy and I have spearheaded. Then you have the foiling program, which Ricardo and Renato Benecal and Randy has had input on that. It's based on a Stiletto 23 designed by Peter Wormwood back in the 80s, I believe. And we've made her into a Franken stiletto. So we have that project going. And then Wolfgang is obviously taking the full lead with the building of the boat. So the plan is that as these three things go developing, they all meet together in July.
The building of the Sussman boat.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was the only way we could accomplish our goal, by having three different projects growing in the last 2 years at the same time.
Well, it's easy for me. I'm just a one-dimensional performance multi-hull sailor. So speed is my, you know, force that wakes me up every morning. And to me, I went going way back with Dennis Conner, 1988, the America's Cup, the first time they had the solid wing. And that was my first introduction to wings. And it was just a beautiful thing. I'm not a big guy, but I could actually operate the flaps and everything. And that was my job in the America's Cup, running the wing. And I was kind of, wow, this thing's so efficient. But that was a long time ago, but nobody's ever come up with a way to make that wing something that anybody on a regular homegrown sailing budget and lifestyle would ever want to own, because it had to capsize it every night or put it in a warehouse. It was just a real ungainly thing when you're not sailing. And it took all these years to come up with this concept, throwing ideas in the hat, until we came up with this hybrid wing that you could actually have a wing that is low maintenance. You'd walk away from the boat and it's feathers and it's safe. So that's my motivational factor, is just taking the technology of the wing and bring it down to where it's actually a practical device instead of a America's Cup television device.
I started building boats when I was really young. I think my mom and dad have a birch bark canoe sailboat that I made with staples and yellow yarn when I was in the third grade. And
wow.
I still have that, and I've been building boats from this big, a little bigger, you know, since then. And, you know, my sixth grade science project was a boat, and it never really stopped. It's a creative process, and I guess that's what drives me and motivates me, is it's always amazing when you see a boat leave the building and you see raw materials arrive, and they're just cardboard boxes, and they're just rolls, and they're just drums of resin and flat sheets of core, you know, and it's so, it has no personality, you know, it's just raw materials. And then through, you know, the creative process and passion, coordination and perseverance, you know, you turn these raw materials into something that's never been, you know, created. So for me, that's really motivating.
You know, Wolf at our Christmas party put it, you know, it's like being able to create stories. You know, every part of this boat, every part of our testing, everything that we've done in the last 2 years, if you really look at it, there's always a story. You know, even creating what I call the Mosaic Design Group, because without the guys that aren't here, none of this is possible. They're the engineers, the designers. We have an amazing group of people backing us up with all the technical stuff we need. The orchestrator is Paul Beaker. Then we have Eric Jolly, his draftsman. Without him, all the beautiful artwork that we look on paper and that Wolf transforms into a living boat, that's artwork. We have our engineer, Will Brooks. Wolf comes up with stuff that he says, well, you know, building it like this and putting this here and there. And Will's like, he never says no. He says, we'll find a way around it to make the build process better. Manu brought to our team the expertise of building safe, well-processed, am I saying it right? Yeah. Foils. Yeah. You know, the life of the boat literally hangs on the foils. To be able to achieve the speeds we can and the liftoff, we need amazing foils, and Manu brings that to the team. So that's our Mosaic design team. Getting kids involved into our sport now is very different than when we were young. There isn't the enthusiasm because the equipment hasn't changed. Now there's a new buzz, the foiling. Now imagine if we can give the kids not just the possibility of foiling, but of a wing. Now all of a sudden they're becoming pilots. That sounds really good to a young man or a young woman. It's like, I'm going to pilot this boat around. Having the wing gives them just something else. We can produce a stiff I-beam and even injection mold them out of plastic and put them on, retrofit them on any boat, you know, pretty much, whether it's a monohull or a catamaran. Then there's the foiling aspect of our, we're not the first people to foil, but we're hoping to bring a really easy app with really simple mechanisms that just like a fighter pilot flying around at Mach 2 has flight assist. Well, our foiling program will have foil assist. Wolfgang is building a culture and a family of boat builders, hoping most of them will stay, but I realize that it's an educational process that, you know, we're bringing these young men in, have a couple of the old bulls that have been around the block a while, and we teach them, and they'll go out there and spread the word and do more. And I think this kind of processing will go a long way into the future. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, while we're foiling at these amazing speeds, if not only we created a system, which we're working on, of not just foil assist, but collision avoidance. We have the technology. We're now adapting it to our sport.
Do you think that it's possible for these wing sails, hybrid wing sails, to prevent a capsize from going all the way to turtle?
Well, it's right in the design process to make that be a part of our design criteria, and that is the wing is, the back part is a plastic-covered Klysar, and the front is a solid D-section that's flotation sealed. So on a capsize, even if you had some damage on the cloth, you know, plastic portion, the D-section is sufficient to float the boat on its side, so you don't end up with a 180-degree turtle, can't ride it situation. So there is a huge safety advantage to having the wing with all that volume causing flotation.
Yeah. What that does for me, you gents probably don't know what the multi-hull movement has been through as a result of the criticism from the traditional Corinthian community about the possibility of capsize. And we've learned that the aftermath of capsize is normally definitely preferred to the aftermath of sinking. And one is maybe about as likely as the other. And now it begins to look to me like we can write a finish to the capsize bugaboo.
Yeah, believe me, Wolf is not going to put any lead on this boat. there is no keel. There's nothing that's going to take it down, so the boat's going to float. Yeah. But then to take it the next step of having it float without a full capsize is really the next step, which is what the wing is providing.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Jan Goujon's notion of using the rig, the buoyant rig. He puts a dirigible at the masthead, but then being able to incline the rig so as to bring the boat back on its feet. Have you considered the possibility of going all that far?
Jim, you're just way too perceptive.
Yeah, Jim, you're on key.
You're stepping into exactly what we're working on.
Yeah.
So that's
God, congratulations, gentlemen. What a tremendous advance that would be for not just multi-hulls, but nautical history. To have a boat that's not only unsinkable, but also uncapsizable.
Yeah, sail away from a mistake, you know.
My God.
You got to redo.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an alternative.
That's big.
Yeah. But if you guys can come up with a self-rescuing multi-hull that'll fly over the water and be actually controlled by a computer algorithm so that it flies the way an aircraft under autopilot flies. We're really talking about a new level of human endeavor with the sea. It's momentous to me.
Yeah. To me, it's like the barnstorming era of aviation. You know, people would fly, but people would watch for the crashes and things would break and the structure wasn't right and the aerodynamics weren't right and the engines weren't right and everything else. And, you know, foiling is fairly new to our sport, and a lot of the sport is driven by America's Cup mantra, and that's driven by a rule. We don't have those rules. We just have Mother Nature structural rules here, so we don't have handcuffs telling us what to do. So our whole concept is way more open book than what you see as what you think is the state-of-the-art of America's Cup type foiling. So there's a whole other level that we're going. It's a whole different direction to try to achieve exactly what you said, which was stable flight and a safe high-speed, stable flight.
I've talked to a couple of industrialists since I heard you mention it, and I don't think the world is ready for it yet, because sometimes you produce something and it's so far ahead that people just don't see it because of the economics or the politics behind it. But I'm like you. There are commercial applications for them, and maybe there's kids out there that, you know, can envision stuff that we're not even thinking about when they see it. You know, one thing is having a 32-foot wing. Another one is having a 70-foot wing. And then the final will be a 90-foot wing. And then, you know, there's the 8X coming. And
what's that one about?
Oh, we'll talk about that one when it comes. Okay. We can't let all the cats out of the bag, can we?
Well, Tommy, I think you just released another one. So it looks like there are indeed more than three phases to this giant research project. First, there's the hybrid wing. And indeed, it has at least three phases that we know about. The one that was installed on Randy Smythe's little 20-foot trimaran in the Everglades Challenge. Then the 70-foot wing that is to go on the 40-foot Formula 40 Caliente. And that was to happen last week, but the weather turned gnarly. So Scott and I are planning to go back when they get that one sailing. And then there's the 90-foot wing that goes on the 53-foot cat that they are now building. And then phase two of the overall project is the hydrofoiling. They have come up with a different kind of T-foil. They've done a lot of foil research with their little 27-foot stiletto. And this new configuration, which I call the italic T-foil, will actually increase the wide track stability of the vessel by extending outwards from the side of the vessel. Whereas the usual C-foils, J-foils, and L-foils all decrease the vessel's foiling stance by curving underneath the hulls. And as the crowning achievement of the foiling program, they are developing automatic electronic flight control so that even at very high speeds and in very big waves, the vessel can sense the waves coming at it and adjust the foils accordingly, much the same as is happening with our self-driving cars in traffic. And then the third project, which we had a chance to observe carefully in the shop, is that they are building this 53-foot catamaran as designed by Paul Beaker and Eric Jolly, to utilize the very latest in high-strength and lightweight materials and construction science. Oh yes, they've got a ways to go yet, but they are well-funded and working hard. Now, Scott Brown and Joe Farinaccio and I are attempting to bring you these developments as they break. Because of our format here as a podcast, we can scoop the living daylights out of the print publications so that you can hear it first on Jim Brown's Outrigged Capercast. I'll be away this coming week so that next week I can bring you an up-to-the-minute report on the world's most laid-back boating schmooze, the small boat event at Cedar Key, Florida. The costs for that trip are courtesy of our great friend Andy Zimmerman. And then in early June, I'm hoping to attend the start of the R2AK, that's the Race to Alaska, which begins at Victoria, British Columbia, and runs for 750 miles up through the Inside Passage to Ketchikan, Alaska. Our son Russell is competing in that race in his massively refurbished Goujon 32 catamaran, which is self-rescuing from capsize. But we can't go it alone. The travel costs are eating us up. We need help. And we are really grateful to those of you who are contributing via Patreon and with direct contributions. Thank you. It's you that'll make this happen as much as us. Whoops, that should be the end. You can stop there, but I do have a few more minutes of pontification if anyone is interested. Of course, prepreg carbon fiber has to be refrigerated where it's made, where it's shipped from someplace in Texas or something, in a refrigerated truck all the way to, say, Rhode Island for putting it into a boat. But in the meantime, before it goes in, you got to keep it in a big refrigerator. And then to use it, to get it out of the refrigerator, spread it out on the mold, cover it up with a bunch of plastic films to let the air move around inside, suck the edges down, vacuum, squeeze the living daylights out of it like packaged lunch meat, and then put it in a great big oven. They just cook the living strength right into it. Of course, it's not living, at least not right now, but it certainly carries the carbon atom, which suggests that it either lives or has once lived. But this is much more than just a suggestion. It is evidence that these carbon fiber and foam core or honeycomb core structures are not altogether lifeless, that their tendon-like sinews are arranged everywhere so as to parallel the load paths, and that results in a structure that looks and acts like it grew that way. And to grow that way, it had to evolve, for as long as humans have been engineering structures, say, a couple hundred thousand years, building your hut out of mastodon bones, until now we have these incredible structures, lightweight, stiff, strong, very long-lasting, sun-resistant, amazing things we can do with this stuff. But what this trip did for me was to build the contrast between where it all started and how far it's come. And in the process, the traditional helmsman, the guy standing his wheel watch, now becomes a pilot. As Randy says, we're still just coming out of the barnstorming era. And as Tommy says, the opportunity for commercial applications of this technology seem to be pretty remote at this point. But it doesn't take much of a glance back from Kitty Hawk for us to realize how fast it happened with aviation. And I know that I begin to sound pretty hippie, pinko, touchy-feely when I speak of a time when humanity has been forced to stop burning stuff to produce energy. Already in some places, the exhaust is killing us. And if the Arctic ice cap continues to melt at its current rate, there's little doubt that sea level will rise enough to cause flooding into all the estuaries and river valleys of the world to the point where it opens up a whole lot of new routes for water transport because all of our coastal infrastructure has been flooded. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen, and I hope the hell it doesn't, but some would say that it's inevitable. And who cares whether this climate change is being caused by human activity? It's happening. And that's why I think that this combination of technologies that is emerging there at Fast Forward Composites is not just something neat and fun and fascinating to do. It is historically significant. It illustrates the application of modern technology, such as with carbon fiber laminates, as applied to ancient concepts, such as the outrigger canoe, to achieve futuristic results, as surely as anything else on the fire, such as nuclear or hydrogen. I think the hybrid ship truly points the way ahead for humankind. At the very least, it teaches by example. Well, forgive my pontification, but remember now, this is my soapbox, and I would greatly appreciate feedback from you folks as to what sort of information you'd like to hear here. More fast-breaking, cutting edge material? Or the good old lore of yesteryear? Well, today's cutting edge is tomorrow's lore, so how about a little of both, okay? But let me know. Hey, fair winds to you until next time, and bye-bye.